Romans chapter 6, we're going to read just verses 9 to 11. Oh, please stand with me if you are able for the reading of the Word of God, up and down. Romans chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, this is the Word of the Lord. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Father, as we come to this word, we pray that you would give us understanding, that we would see Christ for who he is, and therefore that we might know who we are, if we are in him. Pray this for his glory and for the joy of his people. Amen. You may be seated. Baptism is often thought of mainly as an expression of someone's commitment to Christ, a kind of pledge or declaration of our intention to live for God. And it might be partly that. It certainly is. We just saw it's a visible display of repentance. And at first glance, verse 11 that we just read seems to support that kind of idea, right? Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And so maybe we connect that with baptism in this way, that we are committing here to do this verse, to die to sin and to live unto God. Maybe we think of verse 11 as a commitment we should make, but that is not what Paul is teaching in verse 11. He is only at this point calling us to consider what God says about the Christian. Verse 11 is not yet a call to walk no more in sinful passions. Now that call comes in verse 12, and it's important, obviously. There it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. But verse 11 sets the foundation for verse 12. That's why it says, let not sin therefore. And if we collapse the two into one, we destroy the foundation of verse 12. Paul calls us first to consider what is true of Christ, and then what is true of us. So we must always begin with Christ and not with ourselves. This is part of a wider portion of Romans, really it's from the beginning of chapter 5, and it goes on to probably the end of chapter 8, where Paul is dealing with Christ as our covenant head, so as our covenant representative. So before Christ, we are all born in Adam. That's the man who was created there in the Garden of Eden. That is, we are born under the dominion and the realm of sin and death in Adam. So we're born into a kingdom, as it were, a realm defined by sin and death. But now, having received the Spirit of God, Christians are made to be in Christ instead of in Adam. No longer in Adam, now in Christ. Now we're not talking here yet about experience. Verse 11 is not about your experience, about anything. It is about your position, what God has made you to be. And therefore, to understand what we are, we must start with understanding who Christ is. And so the first thing we need to understand is that Christ is dead to sin. I'll read verse 9 and 10 once more. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For, here's the reason, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Notice first that statement there at the end of verse 9. Death no longer has dominion over him. That means, it must mean, that death once did have dominion over him. We say, how could that be true? Well, when Christ came into this world, he voluntarily put himself under the dominion of sin and death. I have a few passages to read to you. Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5 says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So when the eternal Son of God, whoever all eternity lived in the realm of God, when he became flesh, a human being, under the law, meaning in a world lying under the condemnation of sin, a world of death. He entered into the condition of fallen humanity in order to redeem those who are under the curse, which is all of us without Christ. Earlier in that book of Galatians, Paul says Christ gave himself for our sins to deliver us from what he calls this present evil age. That is what Christ became part of when he was born, this present evil age. Now, Jesus himself never sinned, of course, but listen to Romans 8, verse 3. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and concerning sin. He made himself like sinful flesh to deal with sin, to deal with death. Even more striking, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake God made him who knew no sin to become sin, to be sin. That's a striking thing to say about Jesus. Christ himself became sin, though he never sinned. What we need to understand is that the Bible speaks of sin not only as individual things that we do, but a realm in which we live, a dominion under which we serve, even without the acts of sin. Where sin reigns, death reigns. And therefore, Christ was himself, by volunteer action, under the dominion of death. He suffered in the world of death as we do. And when he visited his friend Lazarus, who had, well, he had died. I guess he doesn't visit him, but he visited his grave. He grieved. He mourned. When he considered his own death, he sweat great drops of blood. The Bible says he had no form or majesty that we would look at him in any particular way. He became sin in the flesh. He entered the dominion and the realm of sin and death. And on the cross, he drank that cup to its bitter end. You may remember he cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is the cry of a man given over to the rule of death for a time. Forsaken by God, at least in terms of his experience in his flesh. But it says death no longer has dominion over him. Well, how's that? Well, in verse 9, it says Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Now, others have been raised from the dead in the Bible. The same Lazarus we just talked about, he was raised from the dead after 4 days of rotting in the tomb, but he died again because he was raised into the same realm of the dead that he died in, right? His death did not achieve anything for him per se. It did not cause him to escape the realm of death. His resurrection was then symbolic of the resurrection of Christ and those who are in Christ to come. But Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death does not have dominion over him. Why? We have the answer in verse 10. It says, for, that means because, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So when Christ died, he died once for all. His death never needs to be repeated, because in his death, he fully exhausted sin's claim upon him, and therefore upon all who would be in him through faith. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He bore sin's curse absolutely and completely in his body. He entered death under the dominion of sin, and through death, he destroyed the dominion of sin, emptying it completely of its power. This is why death has no claim on him. Sin and death defeated in the death of Christ. But what does it mean then that the life he lives to God? Well, we might think, want it to mean, well, now he's obedient to his Father. Well, he was always obedient to his Father, even when he lived in the realm of sin and death. So it does not mean that. What does it mean? That the life he lives to God. Well, listen to the prayer of Jesus. This is before his crucifixion. But praying as though it had already happened in John 17. He says, praying to his Father, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had from you before the world existed. So the Son of God has always existed in the presence of the Father in great glory. That was his eternal state, temporarily interrupted by him entering into sin and death to deal with sin and death. But now his work being completed, he prays, Lord, bring me, Father, bring me again into your glorious presence. Give me the glory that I've always had. And we see this very thing having happened. We read about it in Ephesians 1, verse 20, for one example. It says, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. He has entered again into his heavenly glory, but now as the God-man, eternally as God the Son, now as the man, God the Son. He entered our condition under sin and death. He conquered it, and he rose beyond our condition for all eternity. He does not belong to the world of sin and death anymore. He's not subject to suffering and temptation and agony and death. The life he now lives, he lives entirely unto God, beyond the dominion of sin and death. There's a passage about him in Psalm 16, 10 to 11, that has now been fulfilled in his resurrection and ascension. It says, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, which we learned in Sunday school is the realm of the dead, the dominion of death. You do not abandon my soul there, or you will not let your Holy One see corruption. He says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's where Christ has gone. Out of the grave, out of the world of the grave, into the world of God's presence, where there is pleasure and joy forever. Now that we understand where Christ is and where he is not and what he is, we can begin to understand what we are, and we can begin to understand verse 11. It says, so, or likewise, some of your translations have, which is better. Likewise, in the same way, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What does this mean? Well, it is not a call to pretend that you have died to the realm of sin. It is not a call to pretend that sin has no influence on you anymore if you're a Christian, which it certainly does. This is certainly not a command to commit yourself to dying to sin. That's not what it is. It's not a call to experience something in a particular way. It is only a call to consider something to be true. The word consider means to reckon or to take into account, or as the case is here, to do that and then continue dwelling on it in your mind, to consider it. When Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac on the altar, the book of Hebrews says he considered that God was able to raise him from the dead. Same word. He considered this. He thought, God is able to raise him from the dead. I'm convinced of this. So to consider is to hear God's word on something and to embrace it as a fact and then dwell on it for the rest of your life. So we might translate verse 11 like this, or not maybe translate, but paraphrase. You also must know and dwell upon this absolute fact that you have died to the realm of sin and you have come to life in the realm of God in Christ Jesus. Know that for a fact, Christian. That's the message. We say, how can that be true about us? Well, because it says at the end of that verse, it says, true of you in Christ, if you are a Christian. Those words at the end are not throwaway. They are the foundation of this whole thing. If you are a Christian, you are united to Christ. You are in Christ. Just earlier in this chapter, in verse 3, Paul says, all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. So, union with him in his death is one application of the greater truth, which is we have been united to Christ through baptism. Is that spirit baptism or water baptism? I think both. But ultimately, by the Spirit, we receive the Spirit of God. We are now united to Christ himself, not merely to activities he did. We don't just become beneficiaries. We become partakers in his very person. This is why the word likewise is so important at the beginning of the verse. Just as Christ died to the realm of sin and death, and because he has been made alive, this is true about him now, made alive in the realm of God, the gospel says, if you are in Christ, so are you. It's true about you as a fact. It's not something you feel necessarily. It's just what is there. We are to embrace it. It's not a call to pretend or to try to achieve it. Earlier we saw God raise Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That is an absolute truth that has happened. Now in that same epistle to the Ephesians, Paul says something about us. It says, God has made us alive together with Christ, and he has raised us up with him, and he has seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ. He says, that is true of you in Christ. It is past tense. It is not do this, become this. This is something that has happened to every Christian. All who have repented of sin and put their faith in God and turned to him can know that this is absolutely true about themselves. They have died to the realm of sin, and they are now living in the realm of God. Every gospel benefit comes through that reality. There is no gospel benefit that comes another way, and none are left out. This is not merely about not letting sin reign in your mortal body, which is the application of verse 12 and an important one. But verse 12 is built on this application of verse 11. If we collapse them, we lose the foundation of verse 12. So we must consider what we are in union with Christ. A few things we can have time to say. In Christ, we are raised with Him in vindication. We have passed out of the realm of death, of judgment, because the price has been paid in full, and we have been raised with Him into the realm of God. He was vindicated in His resurrection, and so are we in His resurrection. And we often call that, and the Bible calls that, justification. We are justified in union with the risen Christ. In Christ, we are adopted as sons of God. Christ was, as it were, adopted as the God-man in His resurrection and His ascension, and so are we. In Christ, we are holy and blameless in the sight of God. In Christ, we are given access to the very throne room of God in Christ. In Christ, all fear of death is removed, such that the Apostle Paul says crazy things like, "For me to die is gain. It is far better to depart from this mortal body and to be with Christ." Death is not gain at all for someone who is under the dominion of sin and death still, which is why the world fears death. It is gain for those who have been removed from death's dominion. And going into the grave does not mean you are under the dominion of death. It's just passing through. And you will rise again with God. So the call here is to consider, to account this to be true, that we have passed from the realm of death and sin and have been brought into the realm of life in God. We do this by faith. We consider it by faith. That's what it means to consider something, to embrace it, to believe it, to trust it to be true, because God has said it. Now, that brings us back to baptism. Baptism is the visible declaration that we are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ. In baptism, we are primarily not promising to do better or try harder. This isn't, I have done one way in the past, now I will attempt to do better. That's not really what baptism is about. It is a confession that Christ Himself has already conquered sin and death. He has been raised to life in God, and we participate in His victory. That is what baptism is about. It is a declaration that Christ has died and that in His death He has conquered it and He has rose again to victory and He has entered life forever into the life of God. And being united to Him, what is true of Him is true for us as an absolute fact, not always by experience, but positionally. This is who we are if we are in Christ. So if you're here today to witness this baptism, don't think what's happening is that Billy and Jane are turning over a new leaf and they're trying to make themselves better people today. That's not what's happening. That's not what's going on. They're confessing that they themselves were lost in the dominion of sin and death. But those people they once were have been crucified with Christ, crucified in Christ. They're confessing that they are now alive in Christ because of Him, because of His life. They're confessing that they have passed out of the realm of sin and death and into the life of God. All in Christ. So that's what we are doing this morning And that life is available for all who will repent and believe the gospel, who will change their mind, change the way they think about their lives, who come to believe their lives are lived under sin and therefore under death, and see that there is only life in Jesus Christ, and to run to him for salvation. To all those who do that, they have passed from death to life. Let's pray.